hide my face while the storms howl above me and there's no hiding place neath the crash of the thunder. Precious Lord, hear my cry, keep me safe till the storm.
Appreciate that. Today's Veterans Day. Today is Veterans Day, the 11th day of November of the 11th month, the 11th hour. What happened? Anybody know what happened? World War I came to a close. That's how, and it used to be called Armistice Day because everybody was celebrating the 11th day of the 11th month, the 11th hour that World War I came to a close, and they called it Armistice Day. But then down through the ages, what they've done is they've decided that instead of recognizing the end of that particular war, we've been involved in so many others, that they changed it to Veterans Day. And so today we celebrate Veterans Day. Wonder if I could ask all of those that have served in the military, all veterans, if you're a veteran, served in the military, can you stand at this time? Amen. Amen. Let me start. No. Let's stay standing. Harold's about to sit down there. Want to know where they served at. I see Carrie way back there in the corner. Carrie, what branch of service and what period of time? Amen. Amen. Mike. Amen. Amen. Billy? Amen. Dan? Amen. Harold? Amen. Clayton? Amen. Marshall? Amen. Let's get. Oh, I served in the Marines from 1964 to 1985. Let's give these guys a round of applause, shall we? Be seated, gentlemen. Also, we don't want to forget Brother Bunk, who's not with us, but Brother Bunk saw service during World War II, and we appreciate his service as well. You know, veterans, the purpose of veterans today, the purpose of our military today is to kind of keep the enemy at a distance, isn't it? Isn't that the purpose of our military, is to take care of our enemies, to keep our enemies at a distance so that you and I can enjoy the blessings of liberty here in our nation. But you know, as military folks, veterans have faced the enemy in the past and are facing the enemy today. You and I as Christians also, there's such a thing as a Christian veteran, because you and I as Christians are also in a war today. And we've got an enemy that we face every day. Who is that? That's it. That's right. We face the devil every day and his little band of warriors. And my goodness, some days it seems like you're warring with the devil more than other days. Some weeks it seems like he just wants to stay on your case all the time. But you know, we can gain the victory over the devil as we walk closely with the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, I want you to turn with me this morning, if you've got your Bible, to Mark chapter 5. I want you to see the Lord Jesus Christ facing the devil. And there's many folks today who are, I believe, they're demon-possessed. I don't believe that a Christian can be demon-possessed. If you're a Christian, you have the very presence of the Holy Spirit living in you. You can be tormented, I believe, by the devil, but I don't believe that the devil can occupy you or possess you. Sometimes we find ourselves dabbling in things that we literally, even as Christians, we find ourselves dabbling in things that literally we open the door to the devil so he can come in and give us a smack on the face, a punch in the nose, or whatever. And that's our fault, you know. We ought to be, you know, the little song says, be careful little feet where you go, be careful little hands what you do, be careful little eyes what you see, ears what you hear, and so forth. Well, we can sometimes let our ears, feet, nose, and all of that, or ears and eyes just slip away, and we can open the door to the devil's demons coming in and just having a good time with us. But in Mark chapter 5, I want to begin reading in verse 1. I'll read verses 1 through 5, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. It says in verse 1, and they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day, this is such a sad picture, always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Let's go to the Lord Jesus, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for the many blessings of life that you bestow upon us. Father, for the services this morning, for our Sunday school program, we thank you for our teachers and for the students, Father, that came to learn just a little more about your word, Father, to delve just a little deeper into your word, Father. And we just pray for our Sunday school program. We know that, Lord, we at one time we used to be up to 60 or and sometimes 70, and yet, Father, for some reason, our Sunday school program, the attendance has dropped off, but the excitement and the joy and the understanding and the learning, Father, has not. And so, Father, we pray that folks would see the need to come and participate with us on Sunday morning with the Sunday school program. We thank you, Father, for our teachers who come and are faithful to prepare themselves and to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit as they share. And so, Father, we thank you for the Sunday school program this morning. We thank you, Father, for the singing. for our children's sermon, Father, for Jeanette's preparation and so forth. And so, Lord, we would just ask you, we rejoice this morning in all of your blessings. Now, Father, as we visit your word, we pray that the Lord Jesus Christ might be lifted up, that the Holy Spirit might move in a wonderful way. And if there's one here this morning that doesn't know you as personal Savior, never made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, that today might be the day that they'll step out of that darkness, Father, and into the marvelous light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, bless your people. Bless your word this evening. There, this morning, Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Each and every Christian is saved by the Lord Jesus Christ for one purpose. Each and every Christian is saved by the Lord Jesus Christ for one purpose. Now, I know, you know, we're saved because God wants us. The Bible says it's not God's desire that any be lost or that any perish, but that all come to the knowledge of the truth, that all enjoy the blessing and that promise of salvation. But as God saves us, why hasn't He taken us home? Why haven't we gone the same pathway as Miss Nell or Miss Helen last week and then Miss Christine? Why does God leave us here? He saved us. Now, what is the purpose of us being here? Say it. To glorify God, also to serve. Is it not? To serve. God wants us to be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in our actions every day. God wants us to be reflecting the love He has for us. He wants us to reflect that same love to others. Each and every Christian is saved by the Lord Jesus Christ to serve. And that's our great commission. God says, Jesus said, go you into all the world and preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Our salvation is to be an active salvation, not a waiting salvation. There are a lot of Christians today that are just waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're moaning and groaning, and they're having such a hard time with the world situation and worrying about the world situation and making ends meet and so forth and so on. And they just say, well, one of these days all this is going to be in the past, and I'm going to be home in glory, and it's all and I won't have to worry about this stuff anymore. But, you know, that's not a marvelous testimony of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, is it? Is that any kind of a faithful testimony of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ where you can enjoy peace and comfort and joy even in the midst of great tribulation and persecution? God calls us. I think one of the most wonderful things that ever happened to this person, this man, Jim Bogle, was when I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, that the burden of fear was lifted right off of me. The burden of fear was lifted right off of me. Today, I have peace with the Lord Jesus Christ because I know where I came from, I know why I'm here, and I know where I'm going. And you and I, every one of us as Christians ought to enjoy that marvelous peace that God gives us no matter what we face on the horizon. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ is the testimony in our life that will affect other people who are living in darkness and peril. And so we find it peculiar here in this particular verse. It says our salvation is to be an active salvation, not a waiting salvation. And so we find it peculiar when Christ turns away from following him, a man whom he has just delivered from demon possession. This man wanted to follow Christ and be with him, but the Lord said this. He said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. God has a reason for everything he does, and surprisingly enough, it is always centered upon his love for those who belong to him as well as those that don't belong to him. The scriptures tell us that our salvation came not because we loved Christ, but because what? He first loved us. He first loved us. So why does Christ turn this man away and send him back home? Well, let's look at the scriptures. The verse 1 says, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. Jesus was tired and weary after teaching all day on the west side of the Jordan. And he crossed over to Gadara, the land east of the Jordan River. Let me give you a little background about the land of Gadara. The Gadara is the land that was chosen by the tribe of Gad to be settled during the conquest stage of Israel under the leadership of Joshua. The Gadites chose to live on the wrong side of the Jordan. Everybody else was crossing over Jordan, you know. Joshua led the children of Israel across the Jordan, and yet the Gadites, the children of Gad wanted to stay on the other side of the Jordan. You know, when I think about crossing Jordan, spiritual pictures that comes to mind is crossing over into heaven, you know, crossing over into the promised land. And you would think that here all these folks that had wearied so through the wilderness when it came time to cross over the Jordan and go into that promised land, the land that God had testified that it was flowing with milk and honey, that everybody would want to go. But you know, not everybody is anxious to go to heaven. I can't understand that. I can't understand that. And I know even Christians have reservations. You know, they're anticipating going to heaven someday, but they're not anxious right now. You know, they just as soon stay right here and enjoy the minimal blessings that come our way on this side. I mean, God blesses us wonderfully here on this side of heaven. Imagine what it is on the other side. But anyway, the Gadites chose to live on the wrong side of the Jordan. Instead of coming into the land of promise, they decided that the other side of the fence looked a bit better. So they chose to remain on the outside of Canaan, on the east side of the Jordan River. And it's interesting to note that they became pig farmers, an occupation completely alien to other Jewish professions and contrary to the law of Moses. You get that? They weren't supposed to be involved with pigs or swine. They were supposed to stay away from such an occupation and such animals, and yet they got into the swine business. They got into the pig business. Jews were not to have anything to do with swine, and yet here in Gadara, Jews are making their living raising and selling swine. Listen, not to sell swine to other Jews, but to sell swine to the world. And if we can get this picture, they claimed a relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but their lives did not reflect the same. They lived for the world. And Christian friend, let me tell you something this morning. You may bear a testimony of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but if it's verbal and it's not active, the world sees that. The world knows that. You're not bringing honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're certainly not going to be building or reaping any fruit on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. These people in Gadara needed a visit from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And listen, they got one. They got one. The Lord Jesus is coming across on that boat, and he knows exactly what lies on the other side of the lake. Verse 2 says, And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Matthew tells us that there was another man too that came, but Mark and Luke center their attention on this particular fellow. He was a man ragged and torn. He was a man sick and miserable, and he was a man in a violent state. Christ looked beyond all of this to the man. And I love that. I love that. Christ looked beyond all of this negative to the individual. To the individual. We probably would have refused to have anything to do with this particular guy. We may have, as the priest and the Levite in the account of the Good Samaritan, have happily passed on the other side, but Christ came to the man. And we must be reminded of the fact that every one of us, spiritually speaking, before Christ came to us, were ragged and torn and sick and miserable and violent. Aren't you glad that Christ came to you? You know, some people like to say, well, you know, I came to Christ. I came to Christ. I pursued Christ. I chased after Christ. And the Bible teaches that that's not true at all. No man ever gave his life. No man ever came to Jesus. Jesus has always come to the individual. When you turned your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit had been knocking on your heart's door long before you made that commitment. Long before you made that commitment, the Holy Spirit, people praying for you. God, send the Holy Spirit to knock up on that heart's door again, that they'll be under such conviction that they'll open their heart and they'll receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so the Holy Spirit comes looking, comes knocking. I'm so thankful that the Lord didn't give up on me. I'm so thankful that the Lord came and knocked on my heart's door. And I'm thankful that he persevered at that as well. Who knows where I would be or where you would be today if God had not come to us and if God had just passed us by. This man was being tormented by demons. He needed someone to reach out to him, but there was nobody in Gadara that could help him. Let me just clarify that. There was nobody in the world that could help this man. There was nobody in the world that could help this particular man except for the Lord Jesus Christ. People go to see counselors every day trying to rid their hearts and minds of depression and anxiety and misery, and yet they never give a thought to taking their problem to the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet he may be the only one that can help them after all. This demon-possessed man of Gadara needed help, and there was nobody around to give him help. How sad. How sad. Verse 3 says, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, or just torn apart, torn loose, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Isn't that a sad state? Isn't that a sad place to be? Did you know that there's a lot of folks today, and there may be some folks in your family. I don't mean necessarily in your immediate family, but there may be some folks in your family who are suffering this same kind of agony, this same kind of torment, the same kind of despair, the same kind of darkness. And they don't know anything about Jesus Christ, because you know what? You probably have not shared with them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Or maybe they don't even see the Lord Jesus Christ active in your life. And yet that could be the most marvelous. It could be the one thing that they could see or they could hear from you that could give them hope and bring them out of that despair. That we be obedient to the moving of the Holy Spirit and share when the Holy Spirit moves us to share. Even with our brothers and sisters. And so many times I hear people say, well, you know, Jesus said that a prophet is without honor save in his own home. And so we use that as an excuse and we say, well, it's no sense in talking to my folks because God already said my folks aren't even going to listen to me. But let me tell you, I got two brothers that I believe have given their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ because of the testimony that I had of my relationship with the Lord Jesus. And I prayed for them and prayed for them, and I believe that the Holy Spirit just kept going and knocking on their heart's door until they gave in. So don't ever give up, and don't ever say that you may be without honor. I mean, they may look at you and say, well, we know him. We knew him way back when, and now all of a sudden he's changed and he loves the Lord and he's living this new life. Well, we find that hard to believe. Well, don't worry about that. You just keep praying for your brothers and sisters. That's not an excuse. Christ didn't give you an excuse to give up on your family. But how terrible and how sad a picture this is. Here's a mother's son, a soul for whom Christ died, trapped in a brutal cage of insanity, controlled by the supernatural. And cry as he might, rest will not come to him. If only for a moment he could rest his head. If only for a moment he could find some peace. If only for a moment a bit of quiet rest. But thousands of demons were wrestling for control of this one human being, and he was miserable and crying out for help. And the scripture said he made his home in the mountains like a wild beast, or among the tombs of the dead where no one else would find him. Not because he wanted it that way, but because the demons wanted it that way. This soul wants to be set free, but no one can help him. His mother's tears will not help, nor his father's strength. They both, no doubt, weep over him, not knowing what to do for him or how to help him. His friends have all abandoned him. How did all this happen? Did the demons just one day focus on him and take up rest in his body, or did he open the door by some unholy mischief that he may have been involved in? Did you know that 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20 says, Paul says, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. Now listen, Paul is saying, worship offered to anything other than the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is worship offered unto demons. And you say, what kind of worship are you talking about? Well, you know, some people follow their astrological signs. You know, some Christians follow their astrological signs. They can't wait to get the latest book. They can't wait to get that latest reading. And yet the Old Testament, and God had warned the children in the Old Testament to stay away from that. Some people depend on palm reading, tarot cards, magic, Ouija boards, alcohol, drugs, sex, power, money, property, house, car, etc., etc. I mean, all of these can become a god to you. All of these things can be things that you worship. And if your worship is in these things, you're opening the door to the devil. If you worship something more than you worship the Lord Jesus Christ, if you love something more than you love the Lord Jesus Christ, that becomes your God and Jesus becomes second. And the devil loves that because you open the door for his demonic activity to take place. Look again at what the Bible says about this pitiful soul. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. I was shocked to read about how many young folks today practice self-abasement by cutting themselves. That's right. That's right. Young people today. It's so sad. Cutting themselves. Practicing a self-abasement. And the reason they do it, their response, it's their response to loneliness, it's their response to despair, and it's their response to hopelessness. Young people growing up in a humanistic society find little comfort, little rest, and little hope in the blessings the world system has to offer. And they find few Christians around who care enough about them to pray for them and to help lead them to the one who can truly bring hope and promise and peace to their lonely lives. Isn't that sad? I tell you that there's so many young people out there roaming in the streets tonight trying to find rest, trying to find some peace, trying to find some security. This young man was demon-possessed, and when Satan gets a hold of you, he's got a hold of you, and there's only one person that's going to be powerful enough to set you free, and we find it in the next verse. Verse 6, "But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God?'" Let me tell you that this is not the individual. This is not the man speaking. This is the devil. These are the demons within him speaking. "I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, 'Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit.'" You believe in demon possession today? Anybody believe in demons? Let me see the hands of folks that believe in demon possession today. Did you know that there are people who are worshiping the devil today and experiencing things that the devil can do and selling themselves out for that when in fact they're worshiping the lesser power, aren't they? I mean, if you can see the power of Satan moving somehow in your life, it ought to be a crystal clear testimony that there is a God who's even more powerful. Verse 6, "But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him." That's beautiful. Verse 8 says, "For he said unto him, 'Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit.' And he asked him, 'What is thy name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.'" The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 through 11, "At the time of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." These demons must fall. They must be obedient to the voice of the Lord Jesus. And verse 10 says, "And he besought him much that he would send them away out of the country." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. "Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, 'Send us into the swine that we may enter into them.' And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea." And you know what the world would say? What would the world say about that? What a loss. What a loss. Can you imagine the ham? What a loss. 2,000 fine swine. And of course, the Jewish owners would not be happy at all about the loss of this merchandise. Verse 14, "And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city." Now here you've got the servants out there who were feeding those swine, looking after those swine. And when they saw what happened, the Bible says that they fled. Then they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion and sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They were afraid? Is that what that says? And they were afraid. Well, I'll tell you something. Why aren't they rejoicing? Why wouldn't they be rejoicing? They knew this man. They knew this man. They knew he was a wild and he was out of his mind. And yet now they see him. The Bible says they see him sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And yet the Bible says they were afraid. Their daily routine had been interrupted by Christ, and they were not expecting that interruption. They didn't like what had happened to their swine. Verse 16 says, And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. In other words, they're saying, you see, this man was demon-possessed, and you know this man, you've seen him before, and this man Jesus healed this man that was possessed, and this man Jesus sent those demons over there, and over there were 2,000 pigs used to be, but now these pigs are in the sea. Just sharing the whole story. And verse 17 says, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. They want Jesus to leave. Jesus has just done a marvelous miracle, healed this man, delivered him from demon possession, and they want him to leave. Because you know what? The economy is more important than morality and character and deliverance from demon possession. The economy is more important than individual lives. And we live in that world today, my friends. Jesus was not good business for these pig farmers. They had lost a valuable asset because of Christ, and they wanted him to leave. He could have been invited to stay and bless them immensely, but they didn't want that. They wanted Christ to leave. Today, the world wants peace, yet there is war everywhere. There's corruption from the highest levels of government and business to the lowest levels of the city streets and dark alleyways, and yet people want peace. But there's one thing they don't want today. What is it that people don't want today? They want self-satisfaction, but they want self-satisfaction without who? Christ. Without Christ. In Psalm 127, verse 1, the Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And except the Lord keep the city, the watchman or the policeman wakes but in vain. Isn't that the way the situation is in our? I mean, right in Wilson Mills. I live in Wilson Mills. I live in Wilson Mills, little community, and yet it seems like every day something's going on. Some mischief is going on in our own community. It used to be you could drive down to where the preacher lives, and you could see Deer Flag Lane on a nice little green sign. That green sign now has been wrapped around the pole just because somebody just wanted to do a little act of mischief. Down at Antler Drive, I think Lisa will tell you that down at Antler Drive, they've pulled their sign right up and thrown it someplace, taken it off someplace. This is Wilson Mills. Wilson Mills. And had a drive-by shooting not too long ago. My goodness, you know, unless the Lord keep the city, the watchman rises in vain. And that's so true, even in the smallest of cities today. These people wanted nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, and so they told him to leave. And verse 18 says, and when he was come nigh unto the ship, Jesus turned around. Jesus listened to what they wanted. They didn't want anything else to do with him. And so he turns around, and he goes toward the ship. He that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Lord, let me go with you. Let me go with you. And verse 19, Jesus said, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And verse 20 says, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And what does it say? And all men did marvel. Here was a new life committed to the man called Jesus. He went throughout proclaiming what a wonderful thing Jesus had done for him. And the Bible says that all men did marvel. They may not have liked what had happened to their swine, but they couldn't dismiss in their own minds what a marvelous thing had happened to this one man that had the guts to return to them and proclaim his love and his appreciation for the Lord Jesus Christ. They told Christ to leave their land. That's what the community said. And the man wanted to go with Christ. But if Christ was not permitted to stay in the land, his best effort to reach those who were rejecting him would be through the testimony of the one who was set free from the demon possession. And my friend, you and I as Christians today, if God is going to reach the lost of this world, he's going to do it through you and me. And if we're not faithful to serve him and to reach out and to to minister on his behalf, God's going to find somebody else to do that. And you and I are going to miss the blessing. God reaches people through his people. God reaches people through his people. This man could now go home. His father and his mother would be waiting for him at the door. His life would be a new life in Christ. His life would be a different life, and many would marvel and no doubt respond to his wonderful message of what Christ had done for him. And the question this morning is, what has Christ done for you? What has Christ done for you this morning? Well, I'd venture to say that every one of us has a testimony in our life of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. You know, at one time, as Joseph was pulled out of the pit, I was sharing this morning in the Sunday school class as Joseph was pulled out of that pit and sold into slavery, you and I, at one time, were in that pit. And what did Christ do for us? He pulled us out of that pit. And he put us on solid ground. And he gave us a hope and a promise. And he gave us the blessings of eternal life. And now he gave us a gospel also to go and share. And I'm telling you this, we live in Gadara today. All around us is the city of Gadara. And there are people that are demon-possessed. The devil's just having a good time with these folks. You wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know it because they put on this face. They put on this mask, artificial cardboard mask. That gives you the impression that everything's okay. But listen, if they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't want to die today. They don't want to die today because their home, they won't have a home in glory. They'll have a home in an eternal torment. But listen, today, if they give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, not only will those demons be dispelled, but they'll have peace in the Lord Jesus Christ as we wait upon his coming. How many of your friends, how many folks do you know that are living in darkness and pain and suffering and despair? Well, God says, no, don't come with me. Stay, go. Go and tell others what God has done for you. And that's the reason we're here today, is we're living in Gadara, and God wants us to go and to tell others about what he's done for us. Have you told anybody lately? Have you shared the good news of Jesus Christ with anybody lately? We need to be busy doing that. We need to be about God's business. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, Lord, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you, Lord, that this gentleman, Father, this man, this young boy was delivered from demon possession. And Father, we know that today demon possession is rampant, Father. We know the devil is having himself a heyday today. And Father, somehow Christians, it just seems like the Christian church is so oppressed. And seems like we just don't have the get up and go that we ought to have. And yet, Father, that's only because the devil's convinced us that he's got the upper hand. Lord, I just rejoice in the Lord Jesus. I rejoice in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Father, that today, if we've been laxed in our service to the Lord, if we've been laxed in our service to others, that today will be a new day in the Lord Jesus. Today will be the first day of the rest of our Christian life, Father, that we begin service to you. And we begin to pray urgently and earnestly for those that are lost and undone without you, Father, those who might be still trapped in that cage of darkness, that they too might, that cage door, they might realize that cage door has never been shut. You opened that door when you died on Calvary. You opened that cage door. The only captivity that the devil has over any soul is what that soul gives to the devil, because he owns nothing. So, Father, I just pray that you'd use us in a wonderful and marvelous way this week. You get praise, get honor, and glory, Lord, that others might come to know you as personal Savior. Bless, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.